people are lucky enough to escape sickness during the course of their life, and all of us face death at the end of it. But at the same time, it's not always easy for people, especially those in a position of authority, to talk openly about their illnesses, particularly when it is a life-threatening one like cancer. Bishop Crispian Hollis in Portsmouth in southern England has recently undergone two major operations for bowel cancer, and he wrote a number of reflections and a pastoral letter about his sickness for the faithful in his diocese. The bishop has now been declared cancer-free by his doctors, but I asked him how his illness had changed him as a person.
I think it made me become more personal in the way in which I described myself to the people of the diocese, because I felt that what was happening to me was, in a sense, happening to them, and therefore I had an obligation and indeed a willingness to share with them something which was very important to me, because over 23 years as bishop of this diocese, we've progressively begun to share more and more with one another, the people and myself.
I was actually personally quite struck by how upfront and open you were about your illness, because so many people, especially those perhaps in a position of authority, often hush up or keep quiet when they have a serious illness like cancer. Perhaps they maybe see it as a sign of weakness.
I think that's certainly a possible way of looking at it. I never felt that myself. I needed the support of my people, and I needed their prayers, and therefore they needed to understand perhaps why I was not being quite as active and vigorous as I had been before. I'd never really suffered illness, and I'd always been on the side of the carers rather than on the side of those being cared for. And it struck me very clearly when I was in Lourdes with the diocese in August last year, that for the first time in 45 trips to Lourdes, I was actually among the sick rather than among the helpers. And I shared that understanding with them. And I said to them, I think that this is something which in one way is an area of suffering, but in another sense, it's maybe a gift to me so that I can come alongside a group of people that I've always never been able to share experience with before. And so that was kind of the beginning of my thinking, and thinking of the illness, therefore, in some sense, as a gift to enhance whatever pastoral gifts and pastoral skills I might have, because it enabled me to identify with a large group of people who are suffering illness and who perhaps sometimes don't have the words in which to describe and talk about that experience.
You, in fact, said in some of your reflections and pastoral letters that you considered your cancer as a gift, a moment of grace. But as you yourself admitted also, you said that many people will think you crazy for describing it like
right.
That.
Yes. A moment of grace, I think, in the sense that it brings you up when it's life-threatening. Then you come up against the ultimates in life, don't you? And I was having to face, in very real terms and in real time, the fact that my life was not going to go on forever, and that there could be moments when I would be down about that, but there could be moments too which would be ultimate moments when I would have to come to terms with being face to face with the Lord. I got a lot of strength from that sense, and the fact of being public about it, I think, helped me to carry whatever burden I was going to have to carry in terms of treatment that would ensue once the doctors got their hands on me and began the process of addressing the illness from which I was suffering.
But if you could go back to that very first day when you discovered you were suffering from cancer, what was your initial reaction then, your feelings? Were you sort of thinking, oh, gosh, why me?
Well, no, I didn't think why me, because I suppose in a sense the final diagnosis was part of a process, really, and things had not been terribly good for the last 6 months before that, and scans began to reveal that. But one thing when I went to talk to the doctors about this, I said, look, I don't want you to muck around. I want to know exactly what the score is. And I'm not frightened of what's coming, because I have a faith which is important to me and which sustains me. And nothing you say is going to make me frightened of the unknown or indeed in sense of death. That sounds a bit an arrogant thing to say, but I think when we are men and women of faith, then we can face these issues rather more upfront and publicly than perhaps others for whom death is the great unknown and the great thing to be feared. I didn't have that fear of it. But once I told the doctors to be upfront with me, I felt it was incumbent on me to be upfront with the people with whom I've been working for 23 years, where we have great bonds of affection and faith, which leads us together. It's family, and I don't believe in concealing things like this from the family.
You mentioned earlier, of course, that you'd been to Lourdes many times. And, of course, this Day of the Sick commemorates the anniversary of when the Blessed Virgin Mary first appeared to St. Bernadette at Lourdes. You said you went there the first time back in 1968. What were your feelings then about going to this very special shrine?
Well, there are very special aspects to the shrine, but there are also aspects which, you know, frankly, one finds quite repellent in a way in the sort of commercialized side of things. But my blessing, when I first went to Lourdes, I went with students, the undergraduates from Oxford. It was a university pilgrimage, and they were young and active people. And we went specifically to work with the sick people. We weren't going there for pious exercises, if I can put it that way, but we were there to work as brancardier, to work in the baths, to work at the station, to work at the airport, helping the sick pilgrims to begin to experience something of the magic and power of the shrine and of Lourdes itself. So I immediately was immersed in that side of Lourdes and didn't have much time really to do anything other than do the work that you were mandated to do. And in our time off in the evening, visiting sick pilgrims in the hospitals. So that's always been the way in which I've approached Lourdes, and the rest of it, the surroundings of the domain and all the shops and things are really very secondary importance. They're necessary and people derive benefit from them, but for me that's not what Lourdes is about. Lourdes is about a place where sick pilgrims and both spiritually sick and physically sick come to the Lord to experience something of his love and care, maybe even his healing. But that's not why most sick people go to Lourdes. They go because of the sense of solidarity that there is with other sick people and because of the love they experience from those who are there to care for them and to make sure that their pilgrimage is as fulfilling as it can be.
And then, as you said, you went back last year as one of the sick of the pilgrimage.
I had had the diagnosis by then. I did know what was happening. So I thought, this is an extraordinary experience to find myself on the other side of the fence. And I felt it was important to say that and to publicly, again, receive the sacrament of the sick, a sacrament I've actually had never received before. But to be anointed with the sick of the pilgrimage by the Archbishop of Southwark was an extraordinarily moving experience for me, and I think a powerful one for, dare I say it, for the whole pilgrimage as well.
And has your perception of other sick people changed as a result of your own illness? Do you feel a greater admiration for them?
Admiration, affinity, I think I understand a little bit better what it is that they're suffering. Admiration, I'm not sure is the word I'd use, but affinity and understanding and sympathy, those are the sorts of words which come to mind as far as I'm concerned because, you know, I'm one of them and we all are in one way or another, but it takes something sometimes quite dramatic to make us realise that.
Okay, we've been talking, shall we say, about the positive elements, if that's the right word to use when we're talking about illness. What about the downside? Did you find there was a lack, a loss of dignity, the pain? What for you were some of the hardest things to come to terms with?
I think the pain wasn't extraordinary. I don't know whether I was lucky or whether the painkillers I was given were particularly effective. But I think there is a basicness about cancer operations which leaves you a very basic form of life. And when, you know, the ordinary things of life are not very wholesome and not very dramatic and you need the help of others and you need to put up with shortcomings and failures of the system and of the body as well. Coming to terms with that is kind of when you've been pretty fit, as I've been for 75 years, I mean, suddenly to realize that things don't work quite as you might want them to work, that brings you down to earth, I think. And it's in a sense, it can be a bit depressing sometimes because you don't recover as quickly as you hoped you would, and frailties emerge which you had hoped would not be there. But generally speaking, I think I'm a better person for what I've experienced.
And people often say when they do encounter sickness, they realise, of course, what are the most important things in life and what are the things that really don't matter.
Well, I think that's very true. And I think one of the most difficult things to do in sickness is to pray, actually. But then being sick, as it were, and handing that into the loving hands of the Lord, that's a prayer in a way, and you don't need to be saying prayers all the time. It's just that you, into your hands I commend my spirit, can be the only prayer, really, and then you let it go. But it's a great leveler, isn't it? I mean, bishops have a certain standing in the life of the community, but when you're a sick person, then you're on a par with everybody else, and that's a very good thing. I think there's no privilege in that sense of any longer of status or office or whatever it may be. You belong where all human beings belong, in the hands of the Lord and waiting on his mercy and his love.
I was speaking to Bishop Crispian Hollis of Portsmouth about his experience of suffering from cancer.